All right, welcome back to Liquidity and Liquor. I'm Scott DeClary with Joseph Martin. Today we're talking about investment bankers.
So we're going to talk about snitches.
I don't even know why an investment banker is a snitch. Why is an investment banker a snitch?
So,
investment banker, you're looking to raise money. You're looking to close your next round.
Yeah.
You're working with an investment banker. It could be retainer. It could be performance. It's going to take a percentage of the amount raised.
That's what the investment banker does, right?
Yes.
If you want to sell your business, usually they'll go in and they'll be the one that facilitate everything for you and bring the buyers, take a percentage. But like I said, they're the biggest snitches. What happened is, and I love them, by the way, but they're important in our life. We need them. But just be wary, guys. They are snitches. So during the time I had Boxy, I had endless investment bankers walking down my throat, coming in, trying to get my business. So one day when I sell, I'm going to be with them. I mean, imagine it was growing from 2018, where we were around 100 million and so growing so fast all the way to 2020. All I had, every week or so, I would get calls, emails from them or them coming to my office. And you talk to them and, you know, it's good to discuss with investment bankers because they tell you, how is your industry doing? Who in your industry sells for how much, what multiples. But then they tell you everything about them. And if they actually manage to work with them, they'll tell you everything about them. Oh, well, you know that she sold because her husband was cheating on her. And you know that. So that's how much money they actually made. This is what they'll tell you everything. So now when you listen to them, you said, all right, so now if I'm making, say, 200 this year, should I tell him I make 200? So how about I tell this one 150, this one I'll say 300, this one two. This one I know who, next time when someone comes to me and say, oh, I heard you do 300. Oh, Morgan Stanley, motherfuckers. That's what we did. And we were laughing. I was talking about this with Rich one time from Fashion Nova and he was doing the same shit. Like, oh, you did the same. Every time you hear numbers. And like, okay.
It's a necessary evil though.
So make sure you remember not to give them all your information unless you have to and it's part of the process. There are good people, you need to work with them. They're very smart, by the way, very smart. And if you want to work with them, right, it's just like I tell you how to use ChatGPT. This is how you use investment bankers. Investment bankers, because they're snitches, your job is to look interested all the time with your business when they're knocking on your door and your business is doing amazing, to look interested, to act like you really like them, you're considering this, and you're asking questions. And they'll answer whatever you want. And sometimes you can ask questions about your competition, and in some cases, they'll go to your competition, pull it out for you, give it to you, and feel like because they already provide you and did this espionage job for you, now you have a social obligation to work with them, which you don't. But that's my advice.
When do you start working with investment bankers? Because as a founder, I mean, it's tough to raise money and it's tough to close your deal or sell your business because it's so much time to do this, right? And investment bankers probably start at probably a good one's $10,000 a month retainer.
Yeah, it doesn't work like this. Like it's in my case, it was a little bit different. The first round, I think we paid $25,000 and then a percentage of the actual secondary that we get. So secondary is when you get cash to your pocket.
The last one I did was $10,000 a month retainer for up to 5 months, so $50,000 total and then percentage.
So it's roughly around that, right? The real money they make is when they actually sell your business, but they want to make sure that if nothing happened, they didn't waste their time. So don't get mad when they ask you for money because they are going to work. And let me tell you.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
They work. So they deserve, they earn their money. The main point is you want to really negotiate on the part where you sell. So the idea is that you don't know until you enter what's going to be the number. So let's just say, you know, when we came in with Boxy, or it's 200 million, 800 million. You don't know, right? And I don't remember what was the number where we said anything more than that, your percentage going to be above, let's just say we said 2%, now it's going to be 4%, anything over that number. I don't remember exactly because an investment banker kind of like said, well, you know, if I make 2%, as long as I sell, that's what counts. So why do I care if it's 300 or 350, as long as it's more secure? But you want to get 350, for example, mm-hmm. right? Well, then you tell them, listen, anything over 290, you're going to get an additional 2 points. Now they're going to fight like animals
to get that
extra money because that can be more than the, so that's the idea. So you kind of like do your own math and you said, you know what, that's probably going to be a little bit less achievable to get that number. So let's get them a little bit more.
In my opinion, the second you can afford them, you're talking about also like when you were looking to sell for a certain amount, I would even say like much earlier on, obviously you use them for, I think one other, I can't remember all the different raises you did.
Well, we had the,
but I would say like as soon as you can. Because as a founder, I don't think your focus should be raising money if you can afford somebody to help you with that. Because if not, it's going to be super distracting.
It really depends, but Scott, it really depends on the business. Because some businesses, they work under debt. So you consistently have to raise money. My companies were always profitable. So
that's a different conversation, by the way.
So I was able to do it when I want to do it on my terms. So the rule of thumb for me was sell when you don't have to sell. Because then you can make your numbers. And when I did the first round, I was profitable. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, it was all secondary. Secondary means you get the money to your pocket. Primary means they invest in the business, but they put the money on the balance sheet, meaning for the business, you're not taking it home because the business either don't have enough money or it needs to grow and so on. So you show, look, the business is making money. I don't need any more money in order to grow. It can keep growing. But I want to de-risk a little bit. I want to cash out. Let's say tomorrow I get hit by a truck. You know, I want my family to be okay. Whatever it is, right? So that's the idea. When they ask you, look, why do you want to sell then if it's so good? Well, because I want to de-risk. It's absolutely accepted. Everybody understand that. You're like, I'll sell a percentage and let's go. So that was the first time when we did this. And actually, it was a really good team that we worked with here. I forget the name, but... I don't remember the company name, but they were great down here in, it was more of a boutique company. And the second one was Morgan Stanley. And they also did a fantastic job. That's when I sold on a big exit. The only thing I will say is that when you interview them, and I'm giving tips over here, we should go and do another podcast for that because that's off brand, but we should do another one about that.
About interviewing investment bankers?
Yeah,
that's the whole topic?
Yeah, we should do a topic.
Okay, so basically... Use them if you can. Understand what they can offer the business. Know that they're snitches too.
They're snitches, so be careful with what you tell them. But remember, because they're snitches, they'll give you information about your competition that might be very instrumental for your growth. And also about the space. If they are working your space. So that's
the last thing. Yeah. Good. All right. Okay, that's it for today. If you enjoyed, please subscribe on YouTube. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can download and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts or on liquidityandliquor.com.